Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Greet you this morning in no other name but in the name of our only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How many of you are happy that he's alive this morning? Are you happy that he's alive?
Yes.
Wow. I'm going to pass you a song like a born again for sure. You sound like somebody else who just heard about Jesus. Are you happy that he's alive?
Amen.
You sound just a little bit better, just a little point, just a little notch, just a little point. So we thank God for his goodness and his mercy.
Amen.
We thank God for allowing us to see this brand new day.
Yeah.
We don't take it for granted because many didn't wake up this morning and will never wake up.
Yeah.
On this side. But we are grateful that we are in the land of the living. Not that we don't want to go to heaven, but that's it. That's final. You can't do anything for the Lord when you are there. We can do it here and now. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we want to continue our study just to go back a little bit on what we learned. All right, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We do some reading. It's just verse 13, but you know, we need to know what was said before and what was said after, because it's not just that one verse, but we need to know what led up to the Apostle Peter admonishing us in verse 13. All right? So let's go, please. Everyone ready? 1 Peter. All right, let's do it together. But please, I can't take the race. I cannot take the race. Honest. This race is not for the swiftest or for the fastest. But we need to take some time and go through God's word. So let's go, please. Verse 1 of chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to reveal in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice. Though now, for a season, if needed be, we are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now we see him, not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and search diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, they signify, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angel desire to look to. So all those things that was done for us. Amen? Amen? So according to all that Christ did, according to all that he did, according to all the benefits, we are kept by the power of God. Amen. All those things, the shed blood, the finished work that brought us salvation, in light of all that was said, all that we understand from the chapters before, verse 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Because listen, all those things, the angels never received salvation. Christ did not die for the angels. He didn't shed his blood to save the angels, you know, to save their soul. No, Christ didn't die for them. But Christ died for us. So that's why verse 12 says, which things at the end of the chapter, which things the angels desire to look unto. It was interesting for them to look unto. Something to behold. That Jesus Christ leaving heaven, coming down, stripping himself of his heavenly attributes as God, and being man, dying for us, you know, standing the penalty for sin, that we don't have to die and go to hell anymore, but once we're receiving it into our lives and we are living for him, you know, we are saved from that. Amen. So the angels desire to look into that, you know. And then the angels saw that the first man that God created was frail. I mean, he didn't create him frail, but he fell because he chose to fall. He chose to disobey. And yet, a redeemer was provided even in the Garden of Eden, was promised. So the angels desire to, what could be so interested about this being that God, you know, God is so interested in them. He created them and he's so interested in them. So the angels desire to look onto that. In light of all that, he's saying here now, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Be sober. You know, the drunken cannot be sober. Unless they get over it. And some of them don't get over it at all. They are always drunk. They drunk. The people who drink alcohol and get drunk. Some don't get over it at all because they just keep on drinking. Keep on drinking all the time. But God has calling his people to be sober. Be sober. Be sober. Don't act like a drunk, but be sober. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Last week, we share. Once Christ is revealed, you don't remain the same. Once Christ is revealed to you, you don't remain in your sin. You see yourself as a sinner in need of a savior. Once Christ is revealed. But right now, today, we are in the right place. At the right time. That's right. He said, as obedient, and the children just sang about being obedient. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust of their ignorance. But God is calling on us today. And we went through that last week. What does it mean to gird up? What is really a girdle? Remember, we shared that the girdle was used to keep the soldier firm. And the belt was the first thing. The belt was for the loins. And the apostle is calling us to gird up the loins of our minds. Some of you might say, but how come our minds have loins? Yes. It needs to be girded. It needs to be strengthened. Right? We share that the belt was used whenever the soldier fastened his belt, then he add the helmet and the rest of the armor that rests on the belt. The sword And everything was, the belt depended on everything. The belt fits everything. The belt first, and everything fitted properly after. Remembered, we shared last week that a soldier that was girded up was ready to fight. But one that relaxed the belt or loosened the belt was not ready to fight. In the natural, you can do so, but in the spiritual, you cannot afford to do that. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And those principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness are always at work 24/7. They don't go to bed. If they used to go to bed, we'd have a little time off. But they don't go to bed. They are constantly, constantly working. We go to sleep, and we still, sometimes you can't even rest properly. You have to fight. You have to fight. Sometimes you get up tired. When you're supposed to get up feeling rested, you get up tired because you've been fighting all night. Why? Because they don't go to bed. Satan realized that his time is short. So he is working over time. What is he working on? I tell you, if he could have the pleasure of getting everybody to hell, I tell you, he can get that kind of pleasure. Yes, there's a lot in hell, but I tell you, heaven will have a great number. That when the Apostle John saw the number in the book of Revelation, he said, no man could number. Amen?
Amen.
No man could number. So let's gird up. So what is the loins of our mind? It's our minds and our spirit. Our minds and our spirit. And it's so important that we gird that mind. Because why? Our mind is where the battle is fought. It is the main source of our strength. In the natural, in our physical body, is the chief seat of bodily strength in the natural. Chief seat of bodily strength. We don't have bodily strength if we don't have a firm, reliable loins. Just this morning coming to Vance River. I saw a man with a big girdle, a big broad girdle around his waist. Either he went to work or he's going to work. He's going to lift up some heavy load. So it's very important, that piece of armor, the girdle of truth.